It might be said that the idea of BYU began with a boom. You see, on April 5th, 1876, the day before General Conference, three gunpowder reserves in Salt Lake City ignited. The ensuing explosion sent rocks and rubble across the city. The blast was felt as far north as Farmington, Utah, and numerous homes and buildings sustained damage, including the 20th Ward Schoolhouse. The walls of the schoolhouse are cracked and the roof broken. The building will have to be greatly repaired before it can be considered safe, a newspaper reported at the time. The 20th Ward Schoolhouse's principal happened to be none other than Carl G. Mazur. After assessing the damage to the school, Brother Mazur went looking for his bishop, John Sharp. He found Bishop Sharp in council with President Brigham Young. Brother Mazur told both men about the damage to the schoolhouse, but it became clear that the prophet's thoughts were elsewhere. Brother Mazur, President Young interjected, I have another mission for you. You see, he was considering the establishment of a church school and searching for the right person to lead it. The prophet then declared, you are the man, Brother Mazur. We want you to go to Provo to organize and conduct an academy to be established in the name of the church, a church school. By month's end, Brother Mazur was about to leave for Provo when President Young offered up his famous charge to not teach even the alphabet or multiplication tables without the Spirit of God. Prophets lift our gaze. They help us see above the clouds and chaos to catch a glimpse of our divine potential and destiny. They see around corners, as Sherry Dew so aptly put it. Prophets have inspired BYU since its beginning, and they continue to guide this enterprise during this, our 150th year. That is our strategic advantage as we seek to become BYU, the Christ-centered, prophetically directed University of Prophecy. And might I add, we are in for an incredible birthday party this year. There will be plenty of cake and ice cream, even a brand new flavor, I'm told, that's available outside right after we adjourn. Elder Gilbert, I'm worried that we might have lost just half of the audience. Turns out it's not quite ready yet, so hang in there. While most campuses leverage an anniversary such as this as an excuse to put the fun back in fundraising, we at BYU will dare to be different, as Elder Gilbert has urged us. Our 150th is an opportunity to collectively reflect on what we're doing to fulfill the prophetic vision laid out in President Spencer W. Kimball's amazing and awe-inspiring address, the second century of Brigham Young University. President Kimball prophesied BYU would become a unique university in all the world and the fully anointed university of the Lord. Such a lofty vision will only come to pass with our collective and combined efforts. Today, I want to reemphasize President Kimball's counsel. In the second half of our second century, we must support BYU's spiritual mission, including strengthening the student experience. We must stay true to prophetic governance, and we must pursue excellence with our dual heritage intact. We must make every effort. And we must be patient, as President Kimball said. We must be professional. We must be spiritual. Then, in the process of time, this will become the fully anointed university of the Lord, about which so much has been spoken in the past. The work ahead requires that we remain riveted on our spiritual mission. Doing that well will, in turn, strengthen the student experience at BYU. President Kimball stated, this university is not of the world any more than the church is of the world, and it must not be made over in the image of the world. We hope that our friends and even our critics will understand why we must resist anything that would rob BYU of its basic uniqueness in the second century. So what makes BYU different is an unwavering commitment to the restored gospel of Jesus Christ and the living oracles who guide the church educational system and Christ's kingdom on the earth. This commitment provides opportunities for teaching, learning, and scholarship not available anywhere else in the world. We are, in this sense, one of one. We model our double heritage, knowledge about things of the spirit and professional excellence in classrooms, labs, on study abroad opportunities, in athletic settings, and in student employment and other activities offered all across campus. That is no easy task. And even after 150 years as an institution, we're still learning. There are, as President Kimball observes, mountains still to summit. And yet, we are making significant strides. Positive momentum is building. I'll share two data points I can't resist. A respected scholar who happens to work on another Christian campus pulled me aside and asked if I was worried. Worried about what? I wondered. This scholar is involved with accreditation, and he'd seen some data suggesting that only 75% of graduating seniors at BYU recorded their time here had increased their faith. At his school, he explained, that wouldn't be acceptable. I responded that it's not acceptable here either. We owe it to our students, to their families, to the church, and to our board of trustees to do and to be better. We owe it to those saints who sacrificed so much in time and treasure to this special place. And above all, we owe it to the Lord, whose university this is. I'm pleased today to report improvement in this statistic. The credit belongs to each and every one of you who worked tirelessly to build faith and intellect, to inspire Christian discipleship and disciplinary excellence. Each year we ask BYU seniors, how did your BYU experience impact your faith in Jesus Christ? In our most recent 2024-2025 survey data, more than 87% of our seniors responded that their BYU experience fortified their faith in Jesus Christ. This is up nearly 10 percentage points over the last several years. Building on the powerful spiritual momentum, to borrow a phrase from President Nelson, that was generated under the leadership of my predecessor, President Kevin J. Worthen. Importantly, the highest gains were with those seniors who responded that their experience strongly built their faith in Christ. There are mountains still to climb, but these data suggest we're moving in the right direction. We similarly ask BYU students each year, how did your experience impact your testimony of living prophets and apostles? Here we've also seen a 10 percentage point improvement, up from just over 70 to now above 80%. In other areas, we have also seen improvement, as you can see from this slide. Making every effort to become BYU means acknowledging those areas in which we also still have room to grow. This includes our desire for each student to receive not just one, but two inspiring experiential learning opportunities. While our trajectory is positive, we have seen recently a dip in students receiving a second opportunity. Research on this topic suggests a strong correlation between such experiences and success and thriving after graduation. Even as we have areas in which to improve, taken together, many data suggests forward positive momentum. We remain resolutely focused on building faith in Jesus Christ and loyalty to his chosen servants. As Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf reminded us in April General Conference, in the Doctrine and Covenants, the Savior declared that he restored his church so that faith might increase in the earth. Attendance at weekly devotionals has also been rising. You here today can help our students during this, our 150th year, by continuing to encourage this trend. So many of you have come up to me and shared the ways you are making it a point to attend in person and inviting others to do the same. For that, I want to express my personal and heartfelt thank you. This will further our collective faith in Christ. The rising generation here on this campus who will enter our doors is facing a two-headed monster of loneliness and a loss of meaning and purpose. It's an epidemic and a tragedy facing the young people walking through the doors of this university. Devotionals represent one simple way each week to foster togetherness and remind ourselves that our true meaning and purpose is found in Jesus Christ. I also want to commend you for embracing the recent emphasis from our academic vice president to include spiritual learning outcomes in courses and syllabi. It's been my experience that intentionally and appropriately incorporating Christ's restored gospel and the words of living prophets into our classrooms and our workplaces will enhance and even accelerate even our secular learning. I am similarly impressed by what's planned for the 150th anniversary Beacons of Light celebrations. These celebrations aim to highlight the gifts of light given to us and the gifts of light we can share with others, that all may be edified of all. Here are just three examples of the many beacons of light planned for this year. BYU Law students are signing the HOPE, which stands for Helping Others Through Pro Bono Engagement Pledge. Committing to perform at least 50 hours of pro bono service, emulating the roles the Savior carries out as our perfect advocate. The BYU Museum of Art is opening an exhibit sharing some of the most beloved religious artworks from our university collection. Current plans are to include artwork that have been in the university's care since before the MOA even existed. The BYU Marriott School of Business will host an internal case competition where students will prepare business solutions relevant to what it means to be a Christ-like leader. Now, these are only three examples of a myriad of amazing efforts across campus. Please consult with your unit leadership to see how best you might get involved. Your individual contributions need not be grand. Indeed, it's often the simple acts of service and devotion that illuminate our daily lives the most. On the screen are a sample of some of the upcoming university activities related to our sesquicentennial celebration. As Christ taught, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As I mentioned earlier, we are blessed at BYU by our unique prophetic governance. This will remain a vital part of our institution in the second half of our second century. President Kimball said, if the governing board has as much loyalty from the faculty and students, from administration and staff, as we have had in the past, I do not fear the future. That reciprocal love and unity must always remain a hallmark of this campus. During my presidential inauguration, Elder Ronald A. Rasband, a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and vice chair of the Executive Committee of BYU's Board of Trustees, said this: the Church Board of Education and the Brigham Young University Board of Trustees involve individuals who are committed to truth as well as to the order of the kingdom. Among many examples I might cite, I want to highlight two recent ways in which prophetic direction and guidance have blessed this institution in monumental ways. The first is BYU's approach to belonging. In these efforts, BYU has been guided by prophetic direction, anchored by shared covenants with God, and rooted in the eternal truths about our primary identities as children of God, children of the covenant, and disciples of Jesus Christ. This unique understanding of what we call covenant belonging is an absolute game changer in the way we view and treat one another on this campus and beyond. To paraphrase C.S. Lewis, it's a serious thing to work and to learn and to study next to fellow children of God with divine, infinite potential and worth. This reality fundamentally changes these conversations and transforms how we view those around us and how we view ourselves. Most of you know of other efforts on other campuses that have become mired in politics. I need not share any headlines, but I'm confident that BYU's approach will stand the test of time precisely because of the prophetic direction built on eternal covenants and eternal truth. Elder D. Todd Christofferson, a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and the chair of the executive committee of our Board of Trustees, recently addressed leadership across the church educational system and once again emphasized the important role church educators play in inviting students to make and keep sacred covenants. When we choose, Elder Christofferson said, to enter and keep covenants, we are making uniquely personal choices to follow our Savior. And taking ownership for choices deepens personal conviction. Covenants bind us to Christ and to each other. There is no better source or lasting source of belonging. In a similar vein, President Camille Johnson, General Relief Society President, who is also a member of our executive committee, invited all CES employees, faculty, staff, students, to help us remind each other that making and keeping sacred covenants is essential to their educational journey. This is what we mean by education for eternity. We have prophetic guidance to thank for that. Now, this brings me to my second example, BYU's independence. And here I should clarify, I'm not talking about a return to football independence. No, I'm talking about a very different kind of independence. President Kimball counseled, we want you to keep free as a university, free of government control, not for the sake of the university, not only for the sake of the university and the church, but also for the sake of our government. Now, again, I'll spare you any recent news headlines, but suffice it to say that prophets see around corners. And as I visit with university presidents from across the country, some of whom have been affected by shifts in federal grant strategies, they're often shocked when I explain that the vast majority of BYU's annual operating budget comes as an appropriation from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're slightly envious to learn how well BYU has weathered recent upheavals in higher education. Too many universities, President Kimball observed, 50 years ago, have given themselves over to such massive federal funding that they should not wonder why they have submitted to an authority they can no longer control. According to a ranking this past year from Forbes, we're in this enviable situation because of a long-standing pattern of prudent financial stewardship over the sacred funds of this university. Now, most of you already know this, but as we enter a new season of athletics, it probably bears repeating. No tithing funds, and I repeat, no tithing funds from the church's annual appropriation go to the university that will go to our athletics program here at BYU. Athletics must balance its budget annually. So if you're wondering why we might have slightly less shiny athletics facility, though clean and functional, this hopefully provides some insight. We are so grateful to be guided by prophets and apostles who help center us and our university efforts on our Savior Jesus Christ. With our unique independence, BYU can pursue excellence as defined by God and His chosen oracles and not exclusively by the measurements of the world. This principle is our guide. However, our faith and our pursuit of our faith-based mission must never be used as a pretext for subpar effort, or as an excuse to abandon our quest for excellence, especially as we pursue our scholarly work in the second half of the second century. President Kimball prophesied BYU will become an educational Everest in the eyes of the Lord, producing brilliant stars in all the fields, science, literature, music, art, to influence their homes, communities, and the world long after they leave this campus. I asked our deans to suggest ways in which each college has fulfilled President Kimball's second century address. And almost every single dean pointed to the brilliant stars who had gone forth from their colleges to shine in every imaginable field and discipline. We educate our minds, our beloved prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, has taught, so that one day we can render service of worth to somebody else. BYU will also continue to do some things here that are left undone by other institutions. You've heard of our efforts to expand mission-inspired scholarship on family, religion and human flourishing, and the inspired Constitution. Now, we've officially begun explorations for a new university-wide initiative on poverty alleviation. This builds on longstanding efforts in areas of natural strength. An exploratory conference will be held this fall on this campus to further document, organize, and discuss work that is already taking place on this campus. One such initiative involves students and faculty who have been working together with local universities and NGOs in places like Bolivia, Ecuador, and Peru on education, health, agriculture, and humanitarian efforts. Projects range from early childhood development in remote Amazonian communities to providing greater access to low-cost prosthetics, quinoa processing tools, and affordable medical devices. These efforts literally span the university, but we are grateful for our international vice president's leadership in shepherding and coordinating this endeavor. Together, these and many other BYU projects reflect BYU's mission to combine learning and Christ-like service. And as our campus becomes more organized and coordinated in the months and years ahead, we anticipate the impact for good will only increase. Once again, we are still in an exploratory phase, but we anticipate growing awareness, especially as we build out BYU's future School of Medicine, which the first presidency announced would have a special focus on international health issues affecting members of the church and the church's worldwide humanitarian efforts. By way of update, last month, BYU's future School of Medicine took a major and miraculous step toward seeking preliminary accreditation from the LCME, which stands for the Liaison Committee on Medical Education. The school's leadership prepared a nearly 900-page DCI, or data collection instrument, which is now under review by the LCME. LCME, DCI, and here you thought we already had enough acronyms on this campus. This is one more milestone in this university's steady upward climb. The vision for all we must become is lofty and at times can seem intimidating, even daunting. But we need not feel discouraged in our pursuit of excellence. The Lord is in this work. Elder Rasband recently encouraged church educational system leadership to reflect on the parable of the talents. In education, we are in the business of talent multiplication. If we believe in the services we provide, we too should be seeking to learn and multiply our talents regardless of the number with which we've already been blessed. Elder Rasband invited us to not be content or complacent. This is what it means to become, both as a disciple individually and as a university collectively. We should, in the words of Elder Neil A. Maxwell, experience a feeling of divine discontent between where we are and where we must go. BYU is blessed with grand prophetic direction, and I promise, as we strive to live up to it, the Lord will aid us in our efforts to become an institution worthy to be called His. Now let me, in conclusion, return to Brother Mazur and President Young. One night, not long after taking the helm of Brigham Young Academy, but shortly after the passing of President Young, Brother Mazur had a vision within a dream. He found himself entering a spacious hallway with open doors leading into many rooms, and he saw President Young beckoning him to follow. Among the other rooms, he saw an upper story in a large assembly hall. He awoke deeply impressed and immediately drew up the plans for a building based on what he saw, and then stowed it away without any apparent purpose or understanding of how to interpret the dream. 6 years later, in January of 1884, the original Academy building burned to the ground. This calamity, Mazur said, brought back to remembrance his dream. He found the paper with the plans he'd stowed away 6 years earlier. With the aid of Brigham Young's son, an architect, Mazur's dream provided the first concepts of what would become the iconic Brigham Young Academy, the building which serves today as the Provo City Library. My invitation for us is to store up the prophetic direction we received. Store up the visions and prophecies from President Kimball's second century address. Store up and act on the prophetic invitations President Nelson, the first presidency, and the members of our board of trustees have delivered on this campus and in general conference. We may not know at what hour we'll need them most, but I know this: we need them now. In the spirit of President Kimball, let us make every effort in this second half of our second century. Those visions and prophecies are the spiritual architecture for building a Christ-centered, prophetically directed university of prophecy. Jesus Christ is full of grace to help guide us in this effort. He lives, and his atonement and resurrection are the miracle that give us the promise of immortality and the possibility of eternal life. His life and teachings are the reason for the hope within us. If we fear not and doubt not, we will increasingly become his fully anointed university that has been prophesied about so distinctly as we approach this midpoint in our second century journey. This is my prayer for us today and into the future, in his holy name, even the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.